Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now. He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, impact every day. Dr. Kevin Morse joins us. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Sounds good. You're all over your cold. You sound terrific.
Yeah, sound much better. Feel much better.
Okay. Did you have a nice Valentine's Day?
Well, you know, I watched golf. I didn't watch the basketball game, so I watched a little golf. So, yeah, it was a nice Valentine's weekend. We had some fun.
Good. And I'm fine, too. Thanks for asking. No, it's all about you, obviously. So let's move on here to Scalia before we get to the Valentine's Day stuff. We hear natural causes all the time. It seems like this is where this is headed. You know, without an autopsy, the diagnosis of a heart attack seems to be media-driven. Through people who are on the scene who have seen that kind of thing before. But first off, there's no reason to suspect anything other than the man was 79, probably not in great health, and he had a heart attack.
Yeah, like you said, natural causes, you always hear that. And the Center for Disease Controls, we track deaths across this country, and we break them down into two major causes, either natural causes or non-natural, which is suicide, homicide, and accidents. So 93% of the people in this country die from natural causes. Now, when you look at him, where it's a natural cause, he wasn't in the hospital, he wasn't ill as far as we know, yeah, it's probably going to be either a heart attack or a fatal arrhythmia where the heart's not really attacked, but it just goes into a bad pumping function and can't pump, and he dies from that, or he had a massive stroke. Or a large pulmonary embolism. I would say those are probably the top ones that probably caused his death.
Yeah, we know he wasn't feeling well when he went to bed. And before a heart attack, you have those sort of pre-symptoms, don't you?
Yes, you do. Often you have kind of that, oh, I just don't feel right. I just don't feel good, you know. And it's that those are the signs, some of those signs of pre-heart attack warnings is if you're not really feeling right. You know, and if somebody questioned him further, who knows? He may have gotten some care, but sometimes they say, you know, I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm going to go in early today.
The natural causes thing, though, it's important to know that distinction because I'd never heard it explained like you just explained it. Because we'll hear 30-year-old dies, and eventually the diagnosis is natural cause. You go, well, how can it be natural that a 30-year-old dies? But it doesn't mean the same as we in the non-medical community would define it.
Correct. You know, unless they're going to do an autopsy on him, we'll never know exactly what it is. We can bet, we can say, boy, it's probably one of these three because that happens most often in somebody who is well. But it really is a tracking mechanism to find out, you know, how many suicides do we have in this country? How many homicides? How many accidental deaths do we have from drug overdoses, car accidents, et cetera? And then everyone else, cancer, heart disease, everyone else falls into that other bucket of natural causes.
So something went biologically wrong with the individual. There's your natural causes.
Yeah, it's usually going to be, like I said, it's going to be lungs, heart, or brain. That's going to be, you're not going to die overnight of kidney failure. You're not going to die overnight of diabetes, but those are the ones that can take your life unexpectedly.
Doc, this may be kind of a crazy question, but would natural causes be hereditary too? In other words, if your grandmother natural causes, your mother natural causes, or does that have nothing to do with it?
No, it can, because it gets down to that cause of death. So when you say hereditary, it's usually hereditary due to something else. In other words, some body part is failing. Heart disease runs rampant in a lot of people's family. That's a hereditary reason, but it would be natural causes as well.
All right, so that's the Scalia portion of the story. And what we know now is that the replacement, the part of the argument is going to go on for a while. And this is maybe not necessarily a medical discussion, But with the average age of death going up every year, I think, you know, a few years ago it used to be men died at 77, women died at 79. I think it's into its 80s now, isn't it?
Yeah, we're just creeping right up to 80 and for men and over 80 for women. Yep.
So I would think that part of this discussion at some point has to be about this lifetime. And again, this is a constitutional change if there were ever to change this lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court. Because unless you resign or retire, the only way out is die. And, you know, if we all get to a certain point where we're not as effective at our job as we used to be, you can make the argument that maybe some of these justices need to tap out before, you know, they are done.
I agree, Steve. You know, we have that in pilots right now, right? We have a mandatory retirement age for pilots. I can tell you in the medical field, it's something we look at very closely now. At what time do you lose a little speed off that fastball? And boy, maybe you shouldn't be practicing. And that's something we deal with every day. And again, even in the Supreme Court, where they're making decisions that are going to impact generations to come, perhaps we need to look at their cognitive skills. These are brilliant people, but we all know that as we age, we lose some of our cognitive abilities and probably should take a look at that just as we do in pilots and in physicians.
Yeah, and to be honest, like so many things, when the Constitution was written, the founding fathers were not thinking about the average age of people dying at 80, you know, because I would suppose at that point in America, people were probably dying at 60 or 50.
Yeah, it probably was more, it was probably in the 50s, maybe even the high 40s, to be honest with you.
Right. So, you know, a lifetime appointment meant you'd certainly be within your, you know, the same cognitive abilities that you had when you were appointed. So those are longer form discussions, but I think that takes care of the medical side. Now I'll take the pressure off you and let you talk about candy and booze when we come back. Stand by for that. More with Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day, Traffic with Mary. What are the trouble spots now? .652, Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Medicine. Man, it's a big deal for Northwestern Medicine and Central DuPage Hospital and all the other affiliates to get together. But the merger now is all complete and everybody's happy?
Well, it's kind of complete. You know, we're just adding a little bit more. We just added Kish Health, Kishwaukee Hospital out in DeKalb.
And, it's a great hospital.
Yeah, and we'll be adding Mary and Joy to our team as well here in the next about a month.
It continues to grow.
Continues to grow, and we're trying to do balanced growth. We're having, you know, a lot of health systems in Chicago. We have a little bit of a different strategy, so we'll see. I think we're making an impact out here. I think you're starting to see more services that people would have gone downtown for, and now we're able to get those in the suburbs without having to travel, and we still have the great tertiary care center downtown that we can send patients to, and some great minds down at Northwestern, that's for sure.
Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day. All right, so we just got off Valentine's Day weekend. Is the, you know, we seem like we get medical tests all the time that say one thing and then they're contradicted 6 months or a year later. But the old red wine, dark chocolate thing seems to be holding up, huh?
It really does. And, you know, you, like you said, it's Valentine's Day and people probably have a box of chocolates there sitting in front of them. And boy, there's little guilt there eating them. But really, when you look at both those foods, I'll call them, they both have a very interesting history, and they both have very good health-related issues, as well as you use them in moderation.
In moderation, meaning how much dark chocolate,
you
how much wine?
Can't eat the whole box.
A box and a bottle.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, right?
I was waiting to see which one would jump in first.
All three of us.
You're Andrea.
Well, Dave, you're the hooch expert on this.
No, see, why do you say?
Well, because it's true. So, Dave, you know, we'd go through a bottle of red wine, but he's still healthy.
Yeah, well, we don't want people to go through quite a bottle of red wine.
That was a little bit of an exaggeration, Doc, but yeah, I think you that, did Dave. Say on this program that there are health benefits from it.
Absolutely. Especially red wine. Not so much white wine, but especially red wine. And when you say how much, 1 to 2 glasses a day. I wouldn't go above that. You know, if you want to stay off of the wine for a day or two, that's fine. But you do see benefits at 1 to 2 glasses a day. And for chocolate, 1 or 2 medium-sized dark chocolate candy bars a day will also give you some great health benefits.
What is a medium-sized dark chocolate candy bar? How big?
It's like the one Doc Emmerich brought you last week.
Yeah, by the way, Doc Emmerich brought in a 5-pound Hershey bar.
Yeah, that's not exactly it.
Yeah, because 2 of those would be a lot.
Correct.
So how many of those little bite-sized Snickers ones?
Well, no, we're talking about dark chocolate. We're talking about dark chocolate. You said medium-sized, so how big is it?
Yeah, you know, they say 100 grams, so I'm trying to think about what the size would
be. Well, if you look at a Hershey bar, like a standard Hershey bar, like half the size of that?
Yeah. Yeah, that flat, normal Hershey bar, half of that. So 1 of those a day would be perfect for you.
But if you had 2, you'd be okay.
You would, as long as you were doing some exercising as well.
All right, so I could live with that. Yeah. I could live with those restrictions. You know, and Dave's drinking all the wine, so that's not going to
be
a problem.
Well, but remember, I went a month without drinking any because the month of January, we all gave something up.
Yeah, but you were so angry, so cranky that
whole month. I wasn't cranky, but I missed those benefits that Doc Most just described.
Yeah. Daddy needs his benefits! So congratulations, Doc. Once again, you've tried to drive us down a healthy path, and we've driven the car right off the road. But I think the message is clear. Moderation. The same thing our grandmothers told us, right?
Yeah. And let's just go. I mean, I think the thing that's interesting is these two, chocolate and red wine, have a lot of similarities. So if you say, geez, I want to get the benefits and I don't like red wine or I don't like chocolate, you still can get the benefits from one of them. But from a cardiovascular point of view, they lower bad cholesterol. They elevate the good cholesterol. They decrease your chance for a stroke. They increase your chance of surviving a stroke. So from the heart side, chocolate as well as red wine help because there's flavanols in there. Flavonoid is the chemical in there. They both increase your cognitive function. So most people think, boy, I get dumber as I drink wine or as I eat chocolate. No, it's actually the opposite. And as long as, again, it's in moderation, it'll actually increase your cognitive function to a point that resveratrol is one of the things that is in red wines, and they are looking at that as part of a treatment for Alzheimer's.
Now, you told me, too, about a study where pregnant women ate chocolate and their kids were less stressed.
Yeah, how about that? So a study was done, and they're looking at children at the age of 6 months. So they tracked patients who took chocolate, mothers who took chocolate during their pregnancy, and others that didn't. And they showed at the age of 6 months, the children whose mother took chocolate had better dispositions, were more laid back, were more relaxed.
How about that?
Yeah.
And it helps memory?
Helps memory. You know, and for people like you and I on the golf course a lot, and Dave and Andrea, it actually helps prevent sunburn and actually gives you your skin much more strength.
He's just made my day. This
wow.
is fantastic.
You know, Andrea, I'm going to give you even something better to make
okay,
your day.
Okay, good.
Do you consider either of these a diet food?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay, they both are.
Oh, yes.
If you have chocolate, if you have dark chocolate about 2 hours before you eat a meal, you are going to consume somewhere between 15 and 20% less calories during that meal.
You're
not going to eat
really?
As much because, yep. And a glass of red wine with dinner, as we eat, everyone knows after you eat, you have this big spike in your sugar. And that's because you just put this large amount of food in your stomach, and it's going to absorb as much of the sugar as it can. That large spike in sugar causes inflammation and causes problems with our liver. But taking a glass of wine, it decreases that sugar spike. So it doesn't allow the absorption of as much sugar. So that, again, helps to decrease the chance of type 2 diabetes as well.
Well, isn't this why the French are healthier?
Exactly. You know, everyone's probably heard of this story, you know, the
Chris
French
is
paradox.
So bitchy.
Yeah, the French paradox is the demographics for the people in France versus the demographics for the people in the United States are pretty much equal. And yet their causes of death due to heart disease are way lower than they are in the United States. So they did a huge study about 25 years ago, and showed that, boy, this is when they showed that red wine actually increases your HDL, your high-density lipoprotein, the good cholesterol. That's protective of our heart. So the French paradox has always been, They drink more red wine there, yet they have a diet that's higher in fat, and yet they have lower deaths due to heart disease. And that's what brought the whole study of resveratrol and the tannins in blood, in the wine, that showed that it's actually preventive for heart disease.
Boy, that's the best news all day.
All right, Doc. Well, aren't you
Thanks,
Santa
Doc.
Claus? It's Santa Claus most. but again, people, moderation. Moderation.
That's the biggest story is moderation. Don't overdo it. Use it for the health benefit, and you'll still get the other benefits.
One glass of red wine, one half-size dark chocolate candy bar.
2 hours before a meal.
Heck with the banana. Yeah. I'm having a chocolate bar right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and obviously Chinese food and pizza. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day.